Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Kyle O'Quinn, Timothy Luau Cabarro, Joey Devine, Jinanu Oduwaku, Nick Young, Sean Keane, Josh Eustace, musical guest Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, only singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town 11 times in a row. And now the host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi guys, how you doing? It's me, the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine, and we're here with our special Christmas episode. So you know what that means, you guys. Sean Keane is here.
Hey guys, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
And we did this last year, so we're running it back. Caitlin Gill, one of our favorite non-basketball fans, is here. Caitlin, how are you?
Hi, I'm Caitlin Gill. I'm very good, and I know little to nothing about basketball.
I mean, but that's the idea behind the episode.
I would hope so. Yeah. I as many times as someone has politely explained basketball to me, I still can't tell what's happening while it's happening, and it makes me feel racist. And it wouldn't matter if the team was all white. I couldn't follow it in high school when it was an all white team. It wouldn't matter if it was purple aliens. I still can't tell what person is doing what on the court, and it makes me feel both dumb and racially at least insensitive, if not worse. So I enjoy basketball as a sport very much, and I've just given in to never understanding it and liking it anyway.
Yeah.
It's okay. In the context of the NBA, it is not racist to get the players confused with each other, in my opinion.
Okay, that's a relief. It wouldn't matter, is what I know intellectually.
Yeah.
There's still this emotional component where it's like, wow, I can't tell those black guys apart. That does feel not good.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and there are also occasionally twins. So.
Oh, well, I didn't even know that was a factor.
Yeah, there are twins.
Who's on the same team?
Two sets of twins. No, oh.
That would truly, briefly, yes.
Here's a really sad thing for you, Caitlin. So there were these two twins that both played in Phoenix.
One set of twins that played in Phoenix,
and they loved each other so much that they signed a contract together.
That's real sweet.
Yeah, they were like, it was like 4 years, and then some amount of money, and the team was like, you guys can divide that however you want.
Oh, that's the sad part. I thought they got two twins in like one contract.
The sad part is that then they traded one of the twin brothers like 2 months later.
That's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unnecessarily cold.
Yeah, but those guys share a bank account. They share clothes and stuff. They're those kind of identical twins.
I don't know. Maybe we're breaking up some unhealthy codependency here. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing in the world. Yeah. Those guys should be playing. Although it wouldn't make it easier for me. I wish those guys could play together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. The Morse twins. One is in Boston. The other is in Washington now.
Yeah.
I'll look out for them and not be able to tell them apart anyway.
There was a rumor that one of them was hurt during the playoffs, and there was a rumor that there had been a switcheroo.
Oh, my God. I love that so much. Oh, that's a great movie, you guys.
And then there's the Lopez twins.
Who are not identical.
They're not identical. They're wacky,
though.
They also
sound like the most popular guys in school. Do you see what the Lopez twins were wearing?
Yeah. They're definitely not. Robin looks like Sideshow Bob.
Oh, that's great.
In fact, one time, he looked so much like Sideshow Bob that one time, I think it was his rookie year, he was the player of the game. And they were like, Robin, now that you're the player, this was your first great big game as a rookie, what are you going to do next? And he looked in the camera and went, I'm going to kill Bart Simpson.
Oh, my God. I love that. If he gets a D Bart D tattoo, he is my favorite person in the world.
Do you think those, they kind of don't, they don't seem to like each other as much. Like, there's no dream for the Lopez twins to reunite somewhere. They seem like they were both playing in New York City for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And Brooke lived with a different Lopez brother, but not Robin.
Oh, that's really
they weren't on the same team, but they were.
I mean, it's typical brother familial stuff.
We're gonna be in the same city, and we're both gonna be playing professional basketball. But I'm not gonna stay at your house.
And they're from Modesto.
I mean, the cow was really.
That says it all. Okay, honestly,
that's kind of the final straw.
That's the minimum level of dysfunction you can have once leaving Modesto.
Officially, the reason was that their cats don't get along.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
The cats are fighting.
And they both talk like this.
And they both talk like this.
They both just get really frustrated
you, Brooke.
With each other.
Man, I love basketball. I really gotta follow this closer, you know?
All right. Well, let's just get to the news. I think you'll enjoy these news stories, even not knowing that much about the
NBA. It seems like it's been an exciting week in basketball news. Maybe I'm missing that every week is exciting.
Week is exciting, but this week specifically had some very funny news stories.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
Let's talk about Bar Mitzvah Man first, though.
This is right now the NBA story of the year.
Yeah, this is it. They are not. I don't think they're going to top this. So Kyle O'Quinn, the backup center for the New York Knicks, who I want to make clear to you, Caitlin, is not famous.
It is important to distinguish that for me because a famous basketball player, it's all a relative measure.
Yeah, he's 27 years old. You know, like, he was a second-round pick. I think he's in the sixth year of his career or something.
He has a side gig now where he goes to bar mitzvahs. And the article is incredible. Let me just read some classic quotes from this article for everyone. Quote, "One thing I can say about these families, they all know how to party." The parties are crazy. I did one, did two, and the next thing you know, I was just Bar Mitzvah Man. Which, Bar Mitzvah Man is just like an all-time NBA nickname.
It's one of the greatest nicknames. because there's definitely like an established precedent for people who were teammates with Michael Jordan would like go to events at nightclubs and like, this is the VIP section. These VIPs from the Bulls are here.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing where, like, athletes everywhere can just get paid to be in the room so people can be like, I was in the room with that athlete. And I know that, I mean, there's, like, a culture of, you know, high-class entertainment, maybe even one-upsmanship in planning a bar mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
But acquiring a non-famous basketball player to just stand, like, twice the size of all the children assembled is totally adorable to me. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me read this quote to you. A lot of times I go and I stay longer than I'm supposed to because it's so much fun.
This is the cutest.
The food's always good. The only thing that gets a little overwhelming is the kids. Sometimes they don't listen to the structure of the party and it just gets loose.
It's an important ritual. You're becoming a man. There's a tradition here. It's not all just dancing and, you know, cash.
Yeah. So like,
although the cash is awesome.
You basically have affluent New York area Jewish teenagers and this 6'10 professional basketball player who's main skill is like pushing people.
Yeah.
Right, would you say?
Yeah.
Honestly, he's built for this work. That's a pushy crowd. 13-year-olds?
It's true, yeah.
You got to be ready. Physically and mentally.
He does say in the article that basically what happens when he first shows up is everyone just starts yelling, selfie, selfie, Snapchat, Snapchat, Snapchat. And then he's like, but once we get all that out of the way, then we just have a good time.
So, yeah, so I think he's now maybe a New York Knicks legend.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
My question for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Is, so now that we've learned that this is a market.
Yes.
Which NBA player should become quinceañera guy?
Oh, well, do you think it needs to be, does it need to be a Latino player?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, Kylo Quinn's not Jewish.
Bar mitzvah guy.
Yeah. So quinceañera, it skews a little older. I honestly think Isaiah Thomas is would be a ton of fun at the quinceañera.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas is he's the shortest player in the league.
I think I'm aware of him culturally.
He's got a lot of heart. Yeah.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Isaiah.
And he has the same name as a much more famous basketball player from 30 years ago.
I'm going to ask a question I'm afraid is stupid. Was he a Piston?
That was the original Isaiah Thomas.
That's correct.
There's a new Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So there are two. We're talking about the second.
Yeah.
But I'm not wrong. The first had that name and was also on the team I said out loud.
Yes.
You were correct. You were absolutely
good
job.
I can't tell you how exciting that moment is for me.
In fact, this isn't on our news, but the old Isaiah Thomas was also in the news this week. Did you see that clip?
He made up with Magic Johnson?
That was like... I should send you that clip, Caitlin, because...
I saw it floating around, and it seemed like it would make me cry, so I haven't watched it yet.
Definitely will make you cry, because it is two grown men crying and hugging and apologizing to each other for things they did 30 years ago.
Well, it's also weird, because it's like, the apology was for not being a better friend.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they had, like, an NBA-related... It was because of the Dream Team, right?
Well, there were lots of... issues there.
Oh, okay.
If I remember right, the reason they stopped being friends is because when Magic Johnson got HIV, Isaiah Thomas was saying it was because Magic Johnson was gay, I believe.
Now, granted, the background of this story is these guys were friends. They met in the finals in consecutive years, and they would kiss each other on the cheeks before the game started.
And then... things happen where they didn't speak to each other for 30 years, and now they're back together.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
It's a nice dichotomy because everybody loves Magic Johnson, even his playing day rivals. Like, everybody, he and Larry Bird hated each other. Now they're best friends.
It
like everybody
hard to not like Magic Johnson.
Yeah, everybody comes around. And Isaiah Thomas is kind of grew more disliked the more he played. Like, he got bitter. He sexually harassed some people when he worked for the Knicks.
Honestly, who didn't?
It's a nightmare. But it was very sweet that they made up. Yeah,
it was just nice to see, again, the NBA is, like, so far ahead of the curve culturally where, like, these, like, 60-year-old men are, like, openly crying on TV and hugging each other. And, like, toxic masculinity is out in the NBA.
Yeah. Processing trauma is in.
Yeah.
But you are my brother. Let me apologize to you if I hurt you, that we haven't been together. And God is good to bring us back together. Am I right? I know, man. It hurt me, too. Come here, man.
Speaking of processing trauma, I don't know a lot about this story, Sean.
Yeah.
But someone stole Charlie Villanueva's toilet?
Yes. So Charlie Villanueva is a basketball player who I think he went to UConn.
He went to UConn, yeah.
He was a high first-round pick, kind of bounced around the league, got a big contract with the Pistons. He is 33 years old, and he's been out of the league for a couple of years.
Yeah.
His home in Dallas was burglarized, and part of it was his toilet got stolen.
Was it like a cool toilet that cleans your butt?
It is not clear. He just posted a picture of the hole in his bathroom. I mean, his series of tweets. His Twitter handle is CVBelieve, which
of course
no one believes. appliances all gone. Like, are you serious? This is mind blowing. At Dallas PD, I'm still tripping. Who steals a toilet? Like, why a toilet? One toilet at Dallas PD, still not at my house. I'm still in shock at the things you stole. I think he's like hand face emoji five times. But the one that stand out the most is a toilet. Bro, a toilet? Can't get my mind off that. A toilet. Wow. Five toilet emojis. He said he called four times about the stolen toilet, and the Dallas PD had a slow response. Look, Dallas PD, probably terrible. Because mm-hmm. they are a big city police department. I'm going to give them a pass on this toilet theft thing. It feels like
gone.
The kind of thing where I'm sure they eventually responded, but that's not something where they're like, we better get some cars out there.
To Charlie Villanueva's house.
Yeah.
There are several people bleeding out actively from murders occurring as this phone call is being made.
Yeah.
But definitely the toilet that is absolutely gone. We'll be right on that.
Yeah. The other thing to know about Charlie Villanueva is that he has alopecia, which means he has
no hair on his
body.
Yeah.
And once Kevin Garnett was bullying him on the court.
Then it was definitely one of the toilets that cleans your butt real good. I'm just
For sure. Oh, yeah. Because that's got to be like
just
pretty
saying.
Big concern.
Yes.
Yeah, what did Kevin Garnett called him
a cancer patient,
right? Yeah.
And then afterwards he was like, no, I meant he was like a cancer to his team.
And
it's
everyone
like,
was like,
that's
a lie.
That's not what you meant. And also,
yeah, it's not better.
But so Kevin Garnett stole his toilet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. The ESPN story about it ends with another Twitter user created the handle @stolen_toilet. I think stolen toilet was taken, clearly.
I mean,
and responded to one tweet.
That.
Yeah, he said, Charlie, are you looking for me? Not really that clever, but... It's not, I mean, the poor guy.
All right, this one also isn't on our news rundown, but Caitlin brought it up, and I realized. So another weird thing, it was a weird news week for the NBA because a truck crashed into Evan Turner's pool.
Oh, that's right. Was that in Portland?
Yes, it was in Portland.
And it was a semi-truck.
Yeah, a semi-truck drove off the road into Evan Turner's pool.
Oops.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it was the pool and not the house.
Oh, for sure.
That is a huge plus. As long as you weren't actively swimming at the time, that is definitely better.
I mean, you're in Portland. I don't know why
you're
you have
swimming.
A pool in the first place.
I don't know
place.
Why you have a pool. You're definitely not swimming. I don't know if it's a pool so much as just where the rain collected in his backyard.
I mean, it's like
everyone
it's a
in Portland
park,
has a pool.
Right? I don't understand. I guess the driver's okay.
Yes, yeah, someone saved the driver. Not Evan Turner. Someone who saw the... Yeah. But there was a picture of Evan Turner standing near the truck in the pool.
Yeah, it looks awful. I don't really understand. Oh, I guess it's just a tight curve.
I suppose. Mm. If your giant basketball mansion is right off the highway.
Holy shit. This is actually an inspiring story that eight people, apparently not including Evan Turner, saved the guy. Like, somebody held his head out of the water. They got the jaws of life.
That's amazing.
Good job, people of Portland.
Look for the helpers. Way to go, everybody.
team is having some trouble right now, but, lives are still being saved.
All right. Should we go to our Christmas-themed news story?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So before we get to this story, we should probably explain to Caitlin what Kyrie Irving is like. Now,
okay, so Kyrie Irving, last year this started. So he was a star for the Cleveland Cavaliers, young,
right? Yeah, okay,
like,
yep,
very
all
talented. Right. Last
I've seen this person at basketball games at your house, Joe.
Yes,
okay,
yeah. So last year he hit the game winning shot in the 2016 finals. Oh, the finals winning cool. shot.
Yeah.
I bet that was probably a good feeling for him.
Yeah, he was probably pretty.
So Joey looks pretty mad.
So last year, what he claims is like sort of a prank or a social media experiment, he started talking about how
he thought the earth was flat.
Great, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
And
His new shoes have the all-seeing eye on the tongue because he's like, I want people who own my shoes to like not believe.
He said people shouldn't trust books, the media... And like
I have described
him. I already love to hate him.
I have described him as the NBA's Joe Rogan.
Okay.
I think he's more of the NBA's Jaden
Smith.
I'm
liking hating him less, but I like both of those. Does he not realize like the eye is like a singular symbol? It's one eye. So if it's on the tongue of both of your shoes, it's just sort of a weird face looking at you.
Yeah, it's
well,
like,
no, it's on the inside.
Oh, the inside. Yeah. It doesn't help. Now but it's a weird face looking only at you.
But
and
you
not
have
others.
Two shoes and two eyes.
Yes. So. My dog has decided that there's a ghost under Joey's chair. I'm sorry. Once again, my dog is here and currently making a weird noise.
Shouts to Major Margaret.
Major Margaret Hotlips Houlihan. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm a single parent. I'm just distracted.
Yeah. So the things he has said that the moon landing is fake.
Yeah. He says he says there are aliens, but the Earth is also flat.
There are aliens. He became a vegan this year. He is like
he wants to open communes.
Yeah. It's like he feels like a 25-year-old who went to one semester of college.
Say, yeah, he does sound like a
and then came back and
it's
just
been a college
like,
sophomore for like 7 years.
Yeah, except whatever online university it's like Joe Rogan University that he went to.
He also at one point described himself as quote very much woke.
Yeah, so he not surprisingly had some thoughts
about
the holidays.
The holiday of Christmas. Sean, would you like to read this quote?
I would like to. Hold on. Let me pull up this quote real fast. They asked him about. He forced a trade to the Celtics. He didn't want to play with LeBron anymore. And that's like encouraged him, and now he has like a team with some younger guys.
Here, I have the quote.
Oh, great.
Kyrie Irving, quote, "The hoopla on Christmas. I don't really get into that. I don't really necessarily think of Christmas as a holiday."
I mean, I'm not a Christian. I'm an atheist, and I still understand that
Christmas
is a holiday.
Is like the holiday,
it
right?
It is a holiday.
It's indisputably a holiday.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you don't have to be a Muslim to recognize that Ramadan is a holiday.
Right, yes. That it is a calendar event marked annually by various festivities. Can't really get around that. Around. I don't know, flat earth is funny because you can't get around anything. I watched a little thing about flat earthers and where they get their ideas, and it's all of them across the board. It's just YouTube videos of other people who've decided the earth is flat talking into YouTube, and that is the saddest. Like, oh, you're in a circular loop.
You're right.
In a cycle,
and
you can't see that you are not on a – you're not on a flat anything. You're on a round earth and a round cycle of dumb thought.
Yeah. I think this might explain some of it. He listens to audiobooks when he goes to sleep. And so I think he's maybe just only catching pieces and believing he's hearing whole sentences.
Also perhaps conflating the reality in his ears with the surreality of dreamscapes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what Kyrie is. So he does it. Christmas is a holiday, Kyrie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to hear more of his argument. This just seems like a wild... This seems like his craziest take yet. Like, okay, the earth is flat. Like, I get it. That's a thing that people believe that it's wrong.
Yeah.
But I think most flat earthers would be like, no, man, Christmas is a holiday.
Yeah, I just don't. In fact, I think flat earthers are more likely to believe in Christmas, right? Doesn't it kind of seem like a... like sort of a fundamentalist Christian belief, maybe?
Weirdly, yes. Yeah. I don't know. Same with there aren't dinosaurs.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely does not believe that dinosaurs existed.
That is a funny one. Isn't there a football player who has that same belief?
There's lots of football players that have that belief.
It's just such a funny, like, part of it. Kyrie feels like he's doing something slightly like a dumb high art performance. Where
it's
he's just
performative.
I think so. But yeah, there's a lot of young guys on the Celtics who are now like really look up to him. And so now it's this weird.
But
it's like
humbug, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics wear green because they're a bunch of goddamn Grinches.
Oh, man. That's too much. I guess. Do what you want, I suppose. Believe the earth is flat.
Sean, is there another piece of news you wanted to talk about?
It's just you're playing with a round ball and gravity so profoundly affects the game. I can't. I'm sorry.
We do have an NBA player who is in jail currently, but his work release allows him to practice and play in games, provided they're in the state of California.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
That's... the best and worst. That's a weird metaphor for how we treat young black men. I'm assuming this is a black man.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And it's drunk driving. So it's like both. It feels like fair and less a part of the prison industrial complex.
Oddly, yeah. That is like a civic debt he's repaying in some way that isn't the same as, like, you know. Just other horrible crime. Like, we've agreed that no matter who you are, you can't do that. That's not decided. It wasn't that long ago, but we're all like, hey, nobody gets to do that. You at minimally, you have to be terribly inconvenienced. That is the punishment.
And
no
he's
matter who you are.
Yeah. I wonder if he's like acting out at practice because the coach will be like, look, you guys better focus on these defensive drills or you guys are all going to run laps. And in his head, he's like, that's that time running laps. I wouldn't be in jail,
right? Yeah. Adding 3 hours of push-ups to every practice.
Yeah, they played an overtime game this week and he had to just be like, yeah,
he's so excited.
Yeah.
There's just a van idling outside with a board guard.
Got to hit a shot.
What if he escapes from a Laker game?
Oh, that would be amazing. He gets smuggled out in like a uniform laundry thing.
Fake the injury
had
and just slides off the stretcher. That's the guy who needs a twin brother.
Yeah.
Honestly, every felon wishes that they were a twin.
Yeah.
He's got one of the great NBA names, too. We haven't said it yet. His name? Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's great
the
name.
NBA, the young Pope of the NBA.
I feel like that name can only be written in gold. Like, no matter what color pen you use to write that name, it just turns gold on everything.
All right, Sean, you want to read your short story?
Yeah, this is... I submitted this to the New Yorker a couple months ago, and they finally rejected it. I kind of feel like they might have... there might have been some plagiarism involved. But anyway, I just want you guys to enjoy my short story... Cat person. K-A-T person. Carl Anthony met Tom on a Wednesday night in June in Minneapolis. He was working out in the weight room of the Target Center when Tom came in wearing a sweatsuit and holding a 2-liter bottle of Red Bull. Wow, I didn't even know they sold Red Bull in that size, said Carl Anthony. They special order it for me. I got a connect in the warehouse in Cicero. Then Tom lifted the bottle to his lips with both hands, chugged for 15 consecutive sentences, and announced that he had to study film. The season doesn't start for another 4 months, said Carl Anthony. It never stops, said Tom. Carl Anthony thought this was strange, but the next time he saw Tom, he was wearing a different sweatsuit, but the same color, and holding a 3-liter Red Bull. You must be thirsty, said Carl Anthony as he finished his set of bench presses. Oh, I'm not drinking this yet. Carl Anthony flinched, like he'd said something wrong. But Tom continued. I've got to put it on ice, 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 ice. Carl Anthony smiled warily as Tom explained. You know, like pick and roll defense. He added, hey, give me your number. I want to text you about some defensive principles. Over the next few weeks, the two of them chatted back and forth. Carl Anthony was sometimes confused by Tom's shorthand and that he would send images of objects instead of their emoji equivalents. But whenever Carl Anthony was slow to reply, Tom would text back in all caps. It felt like Carl Anthony was being yelled at. Sometimes Carl Anthony wondered if Tom ever slept, because he'd get texts about zone principles as late as 4 in the morning. Carl Anthony had had coaches before, sure, but they were always younger and more stylish. His short-term college fling, John, wore fancy suits, but didn't seem to pay much attention to what Carl Anthony did outside of practices and games. He'd get an occasional congratulatory text, but usually John communicated only via Venmo payments. One day, Tom asked him to come to a movie theater. "And it's mandatory," he added in all caps. Carl Anthony was hoping for a lighthearted comedy or a superhero movie, but instead, the theater was showing a Timberwolves game against the Denver Nuggets from January. Tom seemed tense, muttering under his breath and throwing popcorn into his mouth with machine-like regularity. But midway through the third quarter, when the film showed Carl Anthony recovering to block a shot at the rim, Tom reached over and held his hand. His hand was somehow bone dry and soaking wet at the same time. Tom held his hand uncomfortably hard, breathing hard. Carl Anthony was excited and repulsed as the scent of Bengay and old coffee seemed to come off the hand itself. They sat this way for nearly half an hour, until the sight of Ricky Rubio airballing a three-pointer seemed to infuriate Tom. "You want to get out of here?" he said. They waited in line outside a dive bar, where Tom insisted they had the best Boilermakers in the Midwest. Carl Anthony tried to tell him he was too young to drink, but the vein popping in Tom's forehead told him to keep quiet. They drank together in silence, punctuated only by Tom demanding more picklebacks and returning to the jukebox to play the same song, Wichita Lineman. Carl Anthony was feeling unsure of himself and more than a little drunk. The sight of the top of Tom's butt crack emerging from the top of his track pants repulsed and excited Carl Anthony. He stood up, unsteady on his feet and wobbly, the same way he felt when he tried to meet a ball handler at the rim. He headed to the bathroom. As he closed his eyes at the urinal, he felt a presence next to him. Tom was peeing right next to him, even though there was a whole row of open urinals. Carl Anthony quickly zipped up, washed his hands, and told Tom he was tired. "Oh no," Tom said. "You can rest when you're retired." The rest of the night was a blur. They went back to Tom's place, and it was a haze of shuttle runs, push-ups, and a very awkward hour-long sauna. By the time Tom drove Carl Anthony home, he was confused, upset, and sad. Carl Anthony didn't go back to the locker room for a few weeks, but he got a series of texts from Tom the whole next week. "Are you watching film right now? Are you resting? Are you? Are you? Lazy ass." Carl Anthony Towns' rights belong to the Timberwolves through the 2021 season. So that was Cat Person, everybody.
Wow, it's a good story, Sean.
Thanks.
It was moving. Yeah. It's important to share.
It's weird that you took a thing that actually happened to me in my life and put it in your story.
Well, I mean, I was going to split the book deal with you.
All right, so let's explain the premise of this episode before.
Yes.
So we did this last year with Caitlin. So Caitlin's a non-basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
And Christmas is a time where us basketball fans have to hang out with other non-basketball fans.
Right.
But also, they're the best games of the year.
Yeah, they try to make premium games. The NBA does this on a couple holidays. They also do this on MLK Day.
Yeah.
But Christmas is like the best matchups, and there's games on from 9 in the morning until the last game's probably at 7:30 at night. So especially if you're having trouble with your family, it's a great escape.
Yes.
Yeah,
And they wear special jerseys, and they try to make premium matchups. So we want to explain to Caitlin and to anyone who wants to just enjoy these games without necessarily being paced, but you want to follow the narrative of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And we're just going to go through the games and break down like what you need to know narrative wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your first game.
Yes. 9
of the day. 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
The Philadelphia 76ers versus the New York Knickerbockers.
All right. It sounds like we're describing like a 1920s duel setup between two older teams.
Yeah. No one really calls them the Knickerbockers, but they've been around forever. And the 76ers. They've only been in Philadelphia for a little while because the Warriors used to play there. They were previously a team called the Syracuse Nationals, and they, I guess, adopted a bicentennial theme because they were like they're an ABA team. Well, I don't know. Anyway, they eventually had their heyday in the late 70s. They had Dr. J was on their team.
But
But yeah, they have a weird bicentennial theme. But the good thing about it is they do have a mascot, which is a fancy dribbling Ben Franklin.
Yeah, it's the best logo in the NBA.
I mean,
right
I know
now.
That you guys are you think dribbling and you see a basketball. I just see a drooling old man. As soon as you said dribbling Ben Franklin, I got a very cool image of what that
yeah,
could,
like
that
that's
could
him
be.
In Paris negotiating an armistice very slowly. Because look at all these prostitutes. That's my Ben Franklin impression.
I think that was accurate. So there, that's the Knicks and the 76ers.
Yeah, and so let me just give you a look at what these teams are like. The 76ers were intentionally terrible for the last 3 or 4 years, just losing games on purpose so they could get high draft picks, like refusing to sign any free agents.
They were playing the long game.
They were purposefully losing.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the Knicks have spent the last 2 decades trying so hard to win, but everything they did was wrong.
Mortgaging the future. So, like, if you combine both of these two approaches, the Sixers just, like, selling out their fans, just pocketing money, taking shared money, and the Knicks mortgaging the future, overpaying, let, like, old doddering white men make financial decisions, you get, like, the Republican tax plan with those two teams combined. And
so that'll definitely make it easy to talk about
but
around the things.
These
the
two
table.
Teams were hopeless until this year, and now there's a lot of hope in both of them, I would say. Right?
Yeah, because they each have a couple of transcendent players. The 76ers have a... Is he 7'2"?
Yeah, he's 7'2".
7'2". African center named Joel Embiid, who speaks like 4 languages. I think he started playing basketball at like 14.
He's like the ultimate Twitter troll. Uh-huh. Like he very famously last year said that Rihanna said she'd take him on a date if he made the
Rihanna,
All-Star
but
team.
It was heavily. Yeah. Yeah, and the first 3 years of his career, he missed the first 2 because of injury, and he only played 40% of the games last year, and now he's in the league and just dominating.
Yeah, he's really good. And then the Knicks have this 7-foot. He's.
I think he's from Lithuania.
He's Latvian.
Oh, he's Latvian. Yeah, that's right.
7-foot Latvian named Kristaps Porzingis.
And he's a skinny 7'3" guy who like reigns 3.
And his nickname is the Unicorn.
Yeah.
And he's like owned like the fact that his nickname is the Unicorn. Like he'll take pictures with like a unicorn mask, like of him doing stuff. Yeah.
And he has like an unblockable shot because he's 7'3".
Yeah,
because
he's 7'3". Yeah, one. Not that you can't really do much about that.
Yeah, so he's been awesome, and even last night when the we're recording this on Friday the 22nd, not that you guys care. Last night they upset the Boston Celtics, and he shot 0 of 11, and he quoted Kobe Bryant, who said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take," and he said, "Well, last night I missed 100% of the shots I don't take." And that's very funny. Very funny. Also,
I like that
English
a lot.
Not his first language. Both these guys, very funny in like their third language.
Yeah. The other thing about Kristaps Porzingis is he, when he came over, like he's from Latvia, but apparently he was like so obsessed with American culture. Like when he came over here, he was like, "Oh, I go to World Star Hip Hop every day. That's my favorite website."
Yeah,
That's not the best of us, but, like, I don't know, maybe that's okay. Maybe that's not a bad place to start.
Yeah, like, his role model is Carmelo Anthony, who is no longer on the Knicks, but is, like, you know, early in his career did a video where he discouraged people in Baltimore from snitching. Yeah. like, he's really cool.
I love that.
Yeah. and the other thing that I think is funny about this is, like, the Sixers had this really specific strategy where they were going to build and do everything right and wait for their young guys to emerge. And the Knicks were just, like, a drunk guy throwing darts at a list of free agents, and the Knicks are three games ahead of the 76ers this year. The Knicks are much more likely to make the playoffs than the Sixers this season.
But yeah, that should be a fun game because it's like hope for two desperate fan bases. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
The Knicks also this year have acquired a guy who was the second pick in the draft like 7 years ago, and since then like played in China, bounced around the league. His name is Michael Beasley. He has a tattoo on his arm that's on his back that says "Super Cool Bees."
All right. Yeah. Okay.
And he's
been
just
awesome,
been kicking ass.
Yeah,
he's like
his
such
redemption.
A New York City player too. He also claimed he uses 11% of his brain now, not 10% of his brain, and that's the reason he's been so good.
I love these theories.
He rules.
All right, your next game. Mm-hmm. I think you probably know it's the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors.
Oh yeah, they've played together before.
Yeah, they've played in three finals in a row,
and this will be their third consecutive Christmas Day game.
All right,
which they kind of alternate whether it's in Oakland or
where
Cleveland.
Is it this year?
It's in Oakland this year.
It's in Oakland this year. They were in Cleveland last year. No Steph Curry. Steph Curry's injured.
Oh, actually, maybe was it in Oakland last year? I don't remember. Anyway, the Cavaliers won a very close game last year on Christmas, and then in the rematch, the Warriors beat them by like 30 points.
Yeah.
Has it accurately indicated what will happen in the finals in the past?
No.
It's been the opposite.
It hasn't been the opposite. It's just
been. Well, yeah, like last year, the Cavs won by one, and then the Warriors won a finals, which was not particularly close in five games. And in 2015, who won their game? The Warriors won by six and then lost the finals.
Yeah.
So, which was kind of a fighting game. Like, there was a lot of contact and, yeah.
Are they going to be all pissy with each other? Are they super mad?
You know, it's weird because it feels like they have a lot of sort of mutual respect.
Yeah, at this point, you've really been through the ringer together.
And no one thinks the other one sucks or anything.
Yeah.
And a lot of the teams are full of, like, the same core players. And then each team seems to, in the offseason, always pick up a bunch of veterans who really want to just try to win a title.
Right.
So those guys are both very motivated, but also tend to not have a lot of history with anybody.
Yeah, they're not the drama queens I'm imagining.
Yeah. LeBron's best friend, Dwayne Wade, who is married to Gabrielle Union, signed with Cleveland. So they used to play together in Miami, and this is their first year together in Cleveland. So it's kind of a bromance.
That's sweet. Way to go, guys.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the bromance.
Yeah. So, yeah.
LeBron famously ordered food for Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabrielle Union was like, Dwayne doesn't like sea bass, LeBron. And LeBron was like, he'll like it.
He ordered him sea bass.
And now sea bass is Dwayne Wade's favorite food.
Yes. And by the way, when I had dinner with my parents and my girlfriend's parents before my show last night, sea bass was the special. And I was like, this is a good omen.
I'm getting it.
It's a good omen.
It's a good fish.
Yeah. And Steph Curry is not playing.
Yeah, Curry is hurt.
What did Steph Curry hurt?
He sprained
his ankle.
Is he gonna be okay?
Yeah, I think so.
All
right.
I hurt my ankle at about the same time as him, and it's still bothering me.
But frankly, my question here, Sean, is do you have Cavalier Golden State Warrior fatigue? Because I kind of do. I really wish they were playing someone else.
Oh, on Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who you would match them up with instead. I mean, like, the problem is they make the schedule early enough that you would maybe want the rivalry game to instead be, like, Cleveland versus Boston. Because that's where Kyrie Irving went. But they also played on the first night of the season. So, you know, they kind of pick their premium spots. I think this is the right matchup. Because they're both probably going to meet in the finals again. So,
yeah.
It's, is there any kind of, like, movie equivalent to this? This is like when Ant-Man fights the Falcon in the middle of his game, even though you know the real battle's happening during Civil War.
Of course. It's exactly like that.
And I would say the equivalent of Ant-Man is probably Nick Young. See the Ant-Man of the NBA?
No. Weirdly, I was going to say Isaiah Thomas again.
Because he's tiny.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next matchup.
Yes.
My phone is dead, Sean.
Oh, the Washington Wizards are playing at the Boston Celtics. This is like the 2:30 game.
Okay, so this is a fun one. So this is maybe the NBA's weirdest rivalry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was one.
Well, it started last year.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Where the Wizards kept wearing all black to their games against the Boston Celtics, saying
it was a funeral game.
Yeah. Oh,
they were going to bury him.
Come on.
And so they did it before one game and beat the Celtics. And then when they played in the second round of the playoffs, the Celtics were up 3-2, and the Celtics wore all black to their game in D.C. and then lost.
Yeah.
Oops.
The Wizards were also referring to themselves as Death Row D.C. Mm-hmm. last year.
Come on, guys.
And they had a fake Suge Knight that would walk out with them.
Which is fake Suge Knight. If you're out there, we would love to have you on Roundball Rock. They also each now have one of those twin
those
brothers.
Twins.
Those identical twins.
Oh, so it's twin on twin?
Yeah.
That's all I needed to know. You buried the lead.
Markeith is on the Wizards. Marcus is on the Celtics. They have almost the same name.
Do you
name.
Think they fight about who got the better name? Because they're close, but like that's a tight race.
They don't fight about anything.
I love
They have identical tattoos.
Oh. Again, that doesn't make things easier for me as a basketball viewer.
The other thing about the these teams is they're both kind of like good, but not that good. They're like little brother-y kind of.
Yeah, because both of them are probably going to eventually lose to LeBron in the playoffs.
Sure.
And they kind of know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. The Celtics are having a little bit of a rough stretch after being really good at the beginning of the year. Oh, also they signed a high-profile free agent, and he shattered his ankle like 5 minutes into the season.
Whoops.
Yeah. It was really sad.
I just have a series of memories of like basketball clips where it's like fuzzy over something terrible in a video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't ever repeat that. Nope. No. Thank you.
I kind of wonder sometimes about a Christmas Day being played in America's most Catholic city, but
There's money to be made.
The NBA is much more of a religion there, right?
But you can go to church. You can go to Mass first. You go to midnight Mass anyway.
Yeah, you're right. That game's at like 5 p.m. Eastern time. So everybody's gotten their presents and stuff. The fans, I think, will be extremely drunk.
Plus, look.
Yes, that's
it might be America's most Catholic city, but it also has a history of getting together to scream at black people.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's yeah, actually that's, the biggest.
That's, yeah, honestly, that's two traditions. Mm-hmm.
Boston, worst place in the world. All right.
But you want to watch that. John Wall is the best guy on the Wizards.
And Kyrie Irving is the best guy on the
Celtics.
So
that'll be kind of fun. Like, one guy is a real quick offensive powerhouse. He's a great shooter. And the other guy is, like, the best athlete in the NBA who has like scary blocks and dunks and kind of can't shoot at all.
Yeah.
So one guy's terrible at defense. One guy's amazing at defense. So they're a nice like doppelganger matchup.
Yeah. And they both play point guard.
Yeah. So they have the ball all the time.
So how are they both point guards and they have totally opposite skill sets? I love this sport and I don't understand it at all. You don't have to explain it to me.
Well,
I'm
and
sure
the funny
that
part
very
is
logical reasons.
So
but
the,
that's just one of those like,
yeah.
So the other funny part is, so John Wall is very good at passing. Yeah. And Kyrie Irving is only good at shooting.
Yeah, he started to pass a little more this year, but that was his thing of when he was on Cleveland. I think part of the frustration in the LeBron-Kyrie dynamic was that LeBron is the best player in basketball, and Kyrie is good at having the ball all the time and not passing.
Right.
an inherent contradiction there.
All right, what's our next game, Sean?
That's, oh, it's also a wizard versus a leprechaun if you go.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, so I do like that.
Yeah. That's like an interesting mythological matchup.
Honestly, that's weirdly complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wizards powerful, leprechauns wily.
A
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Okay, so the next game is the Houston Rockets, first place team in the Western Conference by half a game, playing the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma City.
Okay, so remember how we were talking about that last team being that last game being two teams that kind of know they're going to eventually lose to LeBron?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Western Conference version of that. It's two teams who are just both probably going to lose to the Golden State Warriors.
Well, these are two teams that have intensely revamped their teams in the offseason where you probably know Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
You'd think I would.
Well, he's he looks like a handsome Ninja Turtle.
Okay.
He won the MVP last year.
Yeah, he was a fashion plate. He's really fun to watch because he's like it's like watching a bullet play.
Yeah.
But also like a bullet coming out of a gun you're firing really fast and not aiming that much. So it makes it wildly exciting. They added Carmelo Anthony, Stop Snitching himself from the Knicks.
Mr. Stop Snitch.
And they added a guy named Paul George, the best player on the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this alignment of people was like, we got three stars.
They were like,
together.
Yeah, this is how we're going to counter the Golden State Warriors. And it has not worked at all.
They are 16 and 15 so far. They're not figuring out the mix yet. The Houston Rockets added Chris Paul, mm-hmm. former Clipper superstar,
okay.
to their team. And they have James Harden,
right.
one of the best players in the NBA, who is known for his gigantic beard.
Yes, he's yeah, been very familiar with his beard.
Yeah. He's been really good, except for the year after he was dating Khloe Kardashian during
well,
the summer.
Well, I mean...
Yeah,
come
and
on.
he was kind of like, I think when that happened, he was like basically hungover until Christmas.
Yeah.
Just from like the accumulated bad
emotional
thing.
Nightmare. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So they added Chris Paul. Chris Paul was on the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
who famously would just flame out against the Golden State Warriors every year.
Okay.
And yeah. the Rockets also would flame out against the Golden State Warriors every year. And their idea is if we bring these two together... Maybe we won't
flame out even brighter.
Yeah. But they have been awesome.
Yeah, they've been very, very good. They shoot tons of threes. They score tons of points. They play super fast.
They have this coach named Mike D'Antoni,
uh-huh.
who's like, he very famously runs this off like exciting offensive system and is like, he sounds kind of like a moron when he talks. Uh-huh. He has, like, a West Virginia accent.
Mm-hmm. But he also, like, played in Italy. He was a star in Italy.
Sure,
but,
why not?
But he's always like, yeah, we're just going to get Chris the ball and have a lot of fun. Yeah. Like, that's, like, his entire strategy.
So if you watch a movie about basketball, it's always going to be, like, a coach insisting that you work the ball around and you pass four times. And Mike D'Antoni's system is you should probably shoot the ball within the first 7 seconds we have it. If you're open, don't pass. Just take that shot. I'm going to bench you if you don't shoot when you're open.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're really fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
and also the other thing that it's always kind of a big deal when these teams met in the playoffs last year and James Harden was a bench player on Oklahoma City. They did not want to pay him, so they traded him to the Houston Rockets.
Oops.
And like basically the fortunes of those franchises flipped at that point.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I would say that led to Kevin Durant joining the Warriors as well, because it just like that
it's
was the thing that
cards.
Made
it.
Yeah, he
yeah.
lost confidence in the ownership because they had gone to the finals and played LeBron's team and they lost 4-1, but all their guys were really young, and then they traded one of their three stars.
Oops.
And then
yeah
kind of fell apart.
But that game should be fun. The Thunder are kind of sad
but they Russell Westbrook tends to play pretty well when the bright lights are shining, I would say, and he also I mean, I could see him scoring 45 points, and I could see him taking 45 shots.
Yeah.
Either way.
Which is a lot.
Yes, yes. That sounds like a lot. Both of those numbers sound high.
Yeah. So, and I would say that probably what will happen is either Oklahoma City will win a very close game, or the Rockets will win by 35
points.
Yeah. So this is a nice dinner matchup, because you're kind of going to know at halftime.
What's going to go on? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, go ahead and just flip over to A Christmas Story if Russell Westbrook's looking real pouty.
All right, what's our next matchup, Sean?
Our final matchup of the day is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who that's the team that Karl Anthony Towns plays for, at the Los Angeles Lakers.
This is a terrible matchup.
Well, it's the only. It's hard to find what the parallel is here, because it's really ESPN wants to have a Los Angeles team playing.
Sure, yes.
And the Clippers got more depressing this year. I guess you can say that the Lakers used to play in Minneapolis, although that was like 50 years ago.
That's why they're called the Lakers.
Yes, yeah, that does stand to reason.
Yeah.
So it's like the only people who are invested in that rivalry are 68 years old. Or
On the plus side.
Yes.
We get to explain to Caitlin LeVar Ball right now, right?
Oh, okay. Yes.
So, have you heard of LeVar Ball yet?
I've heard of LeVar Ball. I know that there is a player named LeVar Ball.
No, that's the dad is LeVar Ball.
The dad is
the
LeVar
son
Ball.
Is Lonzo Ball.
Okay, got it.
And there are two other Balls, LiAngelo and LaMelo, who are not in the NBA. Yet.
Well, because one is 15 and one is 18. Okay. And by rule, they can't be in the NBA yet.
But they're going to be in the NBA.
They're not. Their older brother is very good at basketball. And the other ones are like
15 and 18 is what they are.
Yeah.
They're children.
One of them scored. What did he score? Like 90 points in a high school game?
Yeah.
But they also just. They're all from Chino Hills, which is the upscale suburb of Chino, is that right?
I believe that's correct.
Where the bad kid from the OC is from. And also, I believe that's where Tyrese's character in the Fast and the Furious is from.
Yeah, I think that's
Chino.
Accurate.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's also a prison there.
Yes, yeah. There is a prison.
But anyway, so LeVar Ball. Yeah. So he has this son named Lonzo that the Lakers picked, and oh man. I don't even know where to start.
So he relentlessly self-promotes himself.
He started his own shoe brand called Big Baller Brand.
Yeah.
Did the dad also play? Or
no.
Is this just a guy who's determined to make his three sons basketball players?
He played a couple games in the World League of American Football, which
okay,
was
cool.
This short-lived NFL European spinoff.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the Joni Loves Chachi of the of the NFL. And he only played a couple of games. But he makes a lot of audacious claims with the idea that, like, the more they're talking about the Ball family, the better. So he said he could beat Michael Jordan in a game of one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
He also specified how he could do it. he said that Lonzo Ball was better than Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of his other claims. Like, this week he claimed that he was going to start a league for high school basketball stars, so they didn't have to go to college.
Because he pulled his kids out of high school.
Yeah. And people were like,
to
wow.
Train for the NBA.
But it became very clear that he hadn't done anything. He just had a logo for the league.
Sure.
Which was his son, Lonzo.
Yeah.
And then he said he was planning to have 10 teams and play at a bunch of NBA arenas, but there weren't like
any arrangements made with those
arenas. Or he didn't really specify what cities.
Sure, sure.
So he basically like wrote league for high school kids ! On a napkin.
That
and then
sounds like more career planning than I've done for myself.
That's
as a
actually
stand-up comedian, so okay.
It's fair.
Well, and you know, the thing is people continue to report on it all the time. So I mean, when he started selling the shoes were wildly expensive, and he had not manufactured any of them.
$500 for a pair of Big Baller Brand
shoes.
Zotus, yeah.
Which also, to be clear, barely exist.
Yeah.
like, how many of those shoes have even shipped at this point?
I don't know.
It's
if
not
any
even
have.
Clear if any have. Yeah, it's all because because it's another thing where it's like, don't you need like a supply chain?
Yeah.
But his theory is basically you say something and you can just wish it into existence.
Mm-hmm. Not wrong, honestly.
And he put up when Kobe Bryant was having his jersey retired, he posted a graphic of himself and his sons all looking up as their numbers were also being retired for the Lakers. Meanwhile, his son is not playing college basketball. He was kicked out of UCLA for shoplifting.
Oops.
Oh, I guess
in China.
In China.
Yeah.
And then
you're lucky you just got kicked out of college for that.
And the teenagers are now playing in Lithuania next month.
Yeah.
In a small village in Lithuania that does not speak English. So just it's like there's a writer's room at the ball house and they're just throwing out scenarios.
Yeah.
And LaVar's like, yeah, all right, we'll do this week. But the only thing that can't happen is people to not talk about the Ball family.
Yeah.
Yes.
So whether he does badly or whether he does well, it's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
And he's kind of good and he's kind of terrible.
Yeah, he's a rookie in the NBA.
So he does some cool things, but he also shoots in a real crazy way.
Yeah.
So this will be an interesting game because the Lakers have a bunch of young potential stars. And then Minnesota has some young guys who are much closer to being stars.
Yeah. But I bet LeVar Ball will be there dressed as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
He was like as an example, the Lakers played in New York last week, and he was constantly like high-fiving and embracing Spike Lee.
It was the best. Yeah.
So he's like a clown, but also it seems like it's kind of working, but then at the same time, you're like, I don't really know if there's a long-range plan for any of it.
Does there need to be? I mean, he'll speak it into existence.
Yeah. I mean, they have a Facebook Live reality show.
Yeah, Ball in the Family.
Oh, yeah. It hurts so good. That one hurt. I felt that in my body.
And really, if it's like, is it that big a deal that this 15-year-old isn't going to high school where he's probably wasn't really like much of it
thriving,
or like high school sucks, man. Whatever. You went to Europe instead. That's awesome.
That is pretty cool. That is, I honestly, yeah, that's.
And honestly, college basketball kind of sucks too.
Yeah,
so.
I'm anti college basketball.
Now I don't know that this is going to be beneficial long term, and it's kind of a bad sign when like this early in your basketball career, it's kind of becoming a carnival, but. It also
seems
like these guys could be just signed for name recognition indefinitely.
Yeah, I'm sure there's enough teams that want butts and seats as much as they want wins on the board. Yeah. Like that.
And as hated as he is, there's like nothing really wrong that any of them have ever, except for the shoplifting is like by far the worst offense. He seems like he's like a really good dorky dad.
Yeah,
you just happen to
just the super fan dad.
Yeah,
times 11.
And usually that guy just doesn't have access to courtside seats.
Yes,
but you'll see that guy at a high school game.
Yes, absolutely, you will. And I feel like he embodies a lot of dads, just with more.
Apparently, Joe Montana is like that as a basketball dad too, just yelling in the stands, very demonstrative, and his children are also talented, but not really professional level.
That's kind of cute.
I think Joe Montana, though, is like really curses a lot.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess there's a bit of a temper there.
Real squeaky clean image, real foul mouth. Like Nixon.
Behind picket fences, you know.
All right, guys. So that's our Christmas Day matchups.
Yeah.
If you are a basketball fan who needs to impress non-basketball fans, one thing that worked on me this year, go ahead and pull up that clip of all the Suns that started moving at the same time. I don't remember. Maybe you guys talked about it. But it's just a clip of everybody starting motion
at
exactly
the same
time. Moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched it for about half an hour. So if you want to quiet everybody down and just really focus on the game for a minute, you pull that up on your phone and you hand it to every relative that doesn't watch basketball and then listen to them to go like, oh my God, like a good long while.
Yeah, so things you should Google to show your family about the NBA. Google, go to YouTube, all just on YouTube. And the NBA does not like care. You can share everything. Trevor Booker shot.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a really good one to look at. China Clay Thompson. All of those are good from Clay Thompson's trip. That's very endearing.
These are very useful. These are useful. Help your non-basketball family.
Like to
family.
Hook people. Is there a good Laker clip this year?
This year, no.
Oh, yeah. Larry Nance dunk. Okay. There will be a lot of options for that to see, like, this guy who's a son of an NBA player, kind of like not like particularly good at any NBA skill except
dunking.
Like,
on
every
people.
Month there's just a crazy monster dunk. And he kind of looks like he's like an avatar creature, too. He has that build.
Excuse me, the avatar build.
Yeah, I think those are like some good family ones.
Well, thank you, guys. I might even watch basketball this year.
Think about it. You don't have to, but think about it.
It's not fun unless you guys are there.
A lot of good narratives this year.
Joey, do you think who do you think is going to win the Cavs-Warriors game?
I think probably the Cavs, actually.
Because Steph Curry's not playing.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, Merry Christmas anyway,
which means they'll win
Joey.
The finals.
Well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
You just knocked on wood. Listeners, I want you to know that Joey just knocked on wood. He tried to stop himself, but he didn't.
Caitlin, anything you want to plug?
Oh God, I don't know. Probably.
Where can people find you on the internet?
At Robot Caitlin on Twitter. At Caitlin Estall on Instagram. At Caitlin Gill on Facebook, if you must. But I will ignore you there. And my website is CaitlinGillComedy.com. There's a schedule. Yeah. Maybe I'm coming near you.
Yeah, look at the calendar.
Sean, anything you want to plug?
You can come see The Business in Los Angeles, starting. We're off for Christmas and January 1st, but then you can check it out there. And also weekly or more frequently columns on yardbarker.com. I will have a column about the Christmas Day games up on the 27th.
And we as Round Ball Rock will be back in the new year, right? This is probably our last episode of the year.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, probably.
And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where this week I tweeted, "Not much worse than when you order eggs over hard and they come out over easy. Nasty."
Damn, Frankie's getting nasty in 2018.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
Dashing through the snow on a one-horse open sleigh. Over the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What it is to ride and sing a sleigh on song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Remix, jingle, 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 bells.
Lizzie. Oh, we know. Oh.
Hey, to everybody out there. Big people, little people, everybody, from all of us to all of you.
Merry Christmas and have a happy new year.
Boom.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.